Welcome back to Eco Alarm, a student-run podcast at USC where we discuss current events and organizations making strides in sustainability and the environment.
We bring on new guests each episode to shine a light on good news happening in this sector, ranging from local students and community members to national green development personnel.
I'm your host, Savannah.
And I'm your host, Sarah, and thank you for tuning in to this week's episode.
Hi, welcome back to Eco Alarm, and today we have Nia McMillan and Taylor Kareen Benton from the Woodlands Group at USC. Nia is a senior in journalism with a minor in cinematic arts and folklore, and Taylor Kareen is an African American studies major and is also pre-law. To get started, could you both tell us a little bit about how Woodlands got started and what the inspiration was for this club and kind of what you're all about?
Yeah, definitely. Just fill in whatever blanks I missed. Taylor Kareen, but I basically last year around this time, a little bit earlier in the year, probably Taylor Kareen invited me and another one of our friends to go on a hike. Forget where now. Somewhere like, was it by that like Baldwin Hills outlook or?
It was by Baldwin Hills, but I do remember that there is just some road and highway right next to where we were. So while we were trying to be really outdoorsy, we were very much reminded that we were in the city.
Yes, definitely. So she had invited us to go on this hike, and it had me thinking because over the summer I spent a lot of time like doing hikes and spending time outdoors with friends, and my job too required us to spend a lot of time outdoors. I was super excited to go on the hike, and leading up to that hike, I basically just had this idea like, oh, I want to be able to like do this more often and organize it and everything and make it opportunity where Black students can get involved and feel like their culture can be celebrated and is welcome and everything, which hasn't always been the case, at least in my experience. And a lot of like outdoor rec spaces or sustainability spaces, environmental justice, advocacy work, different things. So that was really the inspiration. I like had the idea one night on my bed at Gateway and like texted Taylor Kareen immediately and was like, bro, I just had this idea, like, yes. And she's like, yes. And yeah, next thing we knew, when we actually ended up going on the hike, we were talking about trying to figure out a name. And the other friend that came, Corey, who's one of our trip guides, thought of Woodlands. Because we were trying to think of sort of like a play on, I don't know, words. And yeah, that stuck. So yeah.
I love that. I'm very much empowered as a Black woman and myself in the environmental studies space, at least. It's already very welcoming to hear that you guys were inspired by something that was lacking and that prompted you to start something of your own. So I know y'all touched on what were some of the driving forces for you creating this club, but maybe was there anything specific at SC that you thought was missing that you guys wanted to fulfill, or maybe anything in your careers that you really wanted to head start at SC?
I know for me personally, one of the driving forces was that I'm from Seattle, and Seattle is nicknamed Emerald City. So I do have more access, or I did have more access to the outdoors just in my area. And in coming here, I was trying to be outside as much as I could, but I don't have a car out here, and getting around LA without a car is hard. It's not impossible, but it's most definitely on the more difficult side just because of how this city is built. And that goes along a whole stem of a million different types of other variations of racism and just forms of oppression blocking just Black people's passage into a more just celebratory way of living and everything like that. But even when I would try to find other ways, like in communal spaces and everything, they were always predominantly white. It always felt like there was a certain air that you had to breathe in order to even be in this space. And there was also just a financial burden, basically. For some clubs, you would have to expunge like up to $200 depending on the place that you wanted to go, literally just to have access to some clean air and be able to see the stars without mad pollution, whether that's from like the gases from cars and just all that stuff, or light pollution literally blocking again your sight from the sky and everything like that. So that was at least one of my driving forces when Nia like asked me and everything.
Yeah, definitely to piggyback on that, not even to the same extent as Seattle definitely is and Washington as a state in general, but I'm from Oakland, the Bay Area, so definitely we have a lot more just like accessible regional parks and everything that you're able to go to with more ease, get to with public transportation and all of that. That just isn't the case living in like LA proper. And so like that desire to just reconnect with nature and green spaces was huge for me because that was something that I was used to where I'm from. But like on the flip side of that, growing up in Oakland, like we have, you know, beautiful like regional parks where you're really able to immerse yourself and not be distracted by like, yeah, like light pollution or noises of the city and all of that. But those spaces, a lot of people who grow up like in the quote unquote flatlands of Oakland, predominantly Black and Brown people, don't even know those places exist. If they do, they're not going to them. I've seen what it's like to be somewhere where they are like those locations, the physical spaces are more accessible, but there's still this cultural inaccessibility that's going on. So there's still like just a huge gap in representation of Black and Brown people. So definitely here, even though it's harder to get to places, there are so many people who would benefit from green spaces and from being able to access them, even beaches. Like I teach kids throughout South LA and walk, and a lot of the kids like have not gone to the beach before and live in Los Angeles. And so many people associate LA with the beach and moving to LA, like, oh, I'm gonna be able to go to the beach all the time. And these kids who have grown up here literally aren't even doing that. So yeah, like really wanting to bridge that gap to make these activities and trips and all of that accessible, both financially, which I'm thankful Taylor Corrine touched on, as well as culturally, to create like culturally relevant spaces. That's like a huge part of it, because I know for myself, a lot of the times when I've wanted to engage with things like this, like other clubs at school or whatever the case may be, I don't feel like I can fully be myself in those spaces. Really just trying to fight against that phenomenon, which is so common.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for sharing that. So, I mean, since you've touched some on your previous experiences, do you want to talk a little bit about, I guess, what's the difference with Woodlums and how has that sort of community that you've created made your outdoor experiences better and more welcoming in that space?
So for me, I would say when I was younger, I was lucky to have like relatives who would take me on like hikes and everything. My grandma was really big on that, on going on hikes throughout the Bay Area and stuff like that. So I was able to like access that. And then fast forward, I've always gone to predominantly white schools, both the public schools that I went to, like I went to public school for elementary school, but it was in a predominantly white neighborhood. And then middle school and high school, I went to private schools where they organized sort of annual camping trips for us that we all went on, and we did a lot of sort of like outdoor excursions and activities. However, I didn't really see myself in them. I felt like there was a level of performance and code switching that I had to engage with, like when I was in those spaces especially. And yeah, it just wasn't always necessarily fun for me. So I didn't really see myself as like into nature, quote unquote, or outdoorsy for a long time until like high school, like with closer friends, I would go sort of have like bonfires in the woods and stuff like that. But even then, it wasn't like a huge focus for me. It really wasn't until my job, which I mentioned earlier, I used to work for a restorative justice organization in Oakland that would hold like retreats and everything for Oakland youth. And I was able to experience like camping and being on hikes and rafting and et cetera with people who looked like me. And I realized like, oh, I can be myself in these spaces and like still do them or like still be in them. Or like I can be myself in these spaces or doing these activities and like still be good at this activity or whatever the case may be. I always felt like, and previously, there was a lot of pressure for me to like perform and be good at something. So it didn't really give me like the ability to learn because I was like, all these white kids or whatever the case may be, like already know how to do these things. Even like swimming, for example, when I was young, it's a wonder I didn't like drown trying to act like I could swim so many times with my white friends when I could not. Things like that just like make it harder for that like learning to even happen, and growth and fun and all of that. But having situations where I was able to do that with people who shared similar experiences as me, like, allowed me to sort of let go and really experience and immerse myself in these different situations. So yeah, I would say that was, again, just like such a huge driving force, because I think it's very common. We talk, of course, to like Black students at USC and Black people in general. We know from our experiences with family, friends, whatever the case may be, that like a lot of Black people refer to things around outdoor rec or advocating for the environment or caring about animals or whatever, like they think of that as white people shit. And we're trying to pivot that, like, that's not the case, one, of course. And there's just been, like, over the years, a huge disconnect between Black people and land. You could think about that in terms of course, us literally being taken from our land and brought here. And then here, we were forced to provide free labor in this country for hundreds of years. Since then, have been pushed away from the land. The amount of land that Black people own in this country has been at a steady decrease insanely since the 20s. And yeah, so we own like a very small percentage of like land here and are predominantly located in urban cities, where not only are we like disproportionately impacted by the harms of environmental racism, but also like, yeah, cannot access the basic natural green spaces. So yeah, I think just knowing that, knowing how much like we don't associate ourselves with being outside and aren't even able to like tap into the healing properties of literally having fresh air to breathe, clean water, communing in nature, being creative in nature, exploring in nature, like all of that, I think is, we're just missing out on a hugely important aspect of human existence that is harmful. And it's not our fault, but like, yeah, it's obviously because of oppressive structures and systems. We have to choose to like enter these spaces and reclaim our relationship to the earth.
Yes, facts, everything you said, especially the white people portion, because I remember it was like our official first hike, where like Woodlands was like an RSO and everything, and we were going like to one of the hikes or whatever, and as we were touring it, we were just like, bro, like it's so crazy how often little kids will just be like, oh no, I don't even want to just go outside and like have a football or something like that, because if I do, then a white kid is gonna say something, or my friends are gonna like look at me different because all of a sudden I'm not as X, Y, and Z as another. I'm just like on some white people shit. But yeah, so very similar to me in terms of like teaching during the summer. So in Seattle, I go back during the summers to a program I used to be a part of called Summer Academy, which basically gives like a space for kids to go during the summer to make sure that they actually understood what they learned in their previous grade. And this was mostly towards like the South, and to Seattle, which is where a large portion of the Black and just general like BIPOC population of Seattle has resided, at least until a few recent years and everything like that. But yeah, so I go there, and within the past few years, they've been making more of an effort to take kids out into more of the nature areas and learn more about what it means about like self-sufficiency, or just identifying things in your area and just knowing that nature isn't as scary or isn't this weird exhibit that you have access to in a similar way of, I don't know if y'all have been to the Atlanta Aquarium, but there's a portion where you, like when you're interacting with the parents, you can go in a little bubble and it's like you in the exhibit, you in there with them, but you're very protected by glass, and that similar type of format and everything like that. But no, so I was doing that. And then when I was younger, again, very much outside, whether it was like playing sports, because again, Seattle is a very just green area. And so I was also just, especially in talking with more people, realizing how lucky enough I was to see like people that looked like me just like outside, and just Black people in general, just outside hanging out and being in the parks and feeling safe enough to do so, even when that may have not always been the normal case and normal state to be in and everything like that. And as I was seeing that more and I was just seeing how comfortable it was, I was realizing how uncomfortable I was within my own body, which required some reflection and some time by myself. And I found that in nature, I found that outside, I found that when I would just settle and listen to the waves crashing or bees buzzing or just general noises outside that were as organic to Mother Nature as literally my movements were to myself. And in seeing that example of life so heavily surround me was really empowering, and knowing that in a way that was a reflection of me, if we're talking about how, like with Adams, like how you are literally made of everything around you. So in ways that what you see is what you feel or what you are on the inside and all that type of stuff. And then Woodlands, if anything, has sourced another connection outside of myself with nature and the land in general, and learning and just expanding the vocabulary that I had previously placed on my relationship with it, where I viewed it as very personal. And is like, while it still very much is a living thing, I viewed it as an individually living thing, almost meant for me, or was like a safe space exclusively for me. But even in being part of Woodlands and seeing others have that experience and stepping away, I felt so many times where it's just like, wow, like I love seeing all of you guys. Like, look at you guys pick that flower, even though low-key flowers scream when you pick them, like, look at you enjoying its beauty, you know? Look at you just smiling, like, this is so cool. And it feels like you're really just reflecting what is around you in that moment. So everyone's smile feels natural. Everyone is in that moment, and in that way, their actions are authentic, they're natural, they're organic, they just are. And it's similar to when you look outside and you realize that everything will continue to move around you. So will you. And that brings a certain sense of peace and low-key a want of movement and action, and just to continue experiencing that.
Yeah, just echoing Taylor Corrine so much. I think it's extremely important for Black people, and we'll talk about this later, but of course we're trying to expand our programming to reach LAUSD schools and the youth. But yeah, Black people and Black youth especially, like, to have spaces where they can just be at the end of the day, like, that is so rare, and where they can, like, be curious, where they can make mistakes without it like being a threat to their well-being or lives, or yeah, just explore and be curious and lean into that. Like, that is super uncommon in our communities. So just like that at the basic, like, play for Black youth and people our age at the end of the day, like, that's a huge value, I think, for us in the organization. Like Taylor Corrine was saying, like, just having spaces where people can, like, let loose and smile and not think about, like, the daily stressors and everything. And I think being outside, like, really helps nurture that state of being.
I've loved everything you guys have said. I appreciate just, like, the insightfulness, the genuineness. I understand that this is something that you guys created because there wasn't the space for that. And just to know how much of an impact that it's having, the genuine impact that it's having on just you two, and just thinking about how much that can spread throughout Black people, not only at SC, but the students that you're working with back at home. Very much relate. I'm from Colorado. I went on hikes this summer with my friends. We're the only Black people. They want to clown around, make jokes and all of that. But we're happy and we're enjoying it. And it's just knowing that even though we're in that space and we may be the only ones in that space, that nature is not subjected to a certain group of people. Again, we're all here. We're all, even if we want to think about it in the realm of climate change and global warming, you guys mentioned, like, environmental justice issues, and just knowing that we're all at the brunt of this, like, existential crisis. It's just really empowering to know that, like, it's taken a minute to come to this time to bring us to this point, but it's essential to know that the work is happening now. And so I really like that you guys have touched on a lot of the health and mental health benefits already to being outside, even just little things like you saying, like picking up like kids picking up flowers and just having smiles on their faces and beaming. I'm curious if you guys could expand about how these beneficial health and mental health factors have impacted your org here at SC, at Woodlums, with everything that you've done so far. How have benefits prevailed through the community here as well, the Black community at SC?
I would say in the fact that Woodlums has gathered just every type of person, I feel like, that you can really think of. Because at the end of the day, like, people like to be outside, whether like that is, I feel like, at least a large portion why people did choose even USC in the first place. And the fact that you're in LA, it's sunny, there's palm trees, there's a certain aesthetic that involves being outside. Even like Nia was saying, LA has always been associated with going to the beach. And because everyone does have that commonality, even for folks outside of SC, which we're, you know, trying to expand towards and everything like that, you just meet just a wide range of people. And in the fact that we encourage a welcoming space, and that when we welcome in, people are like, hi, you know, we say, what's up, how you doing? We check on you, trying to make sure, you know, that your day is going well, and that if we can aid or add in any way possible, then, you know, just let us know, just hit us up, because this is, again, like, you know, another safe space for everybody. And yeah, again, so how just the different types of people that we've brought together. It's cool to see just the types of friendships that have been formed because of this club. Because I know, at least for me, like, I don't think I would have met anybody, like, at least, yeah, anybody for the people that I consider friends now, if I had not been through Woodlands, especially with just how much involvement is required, I would say, with being like on the board and everything like that when it comes to making sure that events are going through. And like, even when you're there just overseeing everything, the type of community that really has been cultivated, and even then how open people are to sharing their experiences and being just honest about the fact that, like, oh yeah, you know, this is my background, whatever the case may be, this is what it's been like for me, and I really just want to have a good time.
Yeah, definitely second that. I think, okay, what are the health and mental health benefits of being outside? I think there are too many to count. I think human beings are supposed to be outside. Like, we function optimally when we are, like, engaging with nature on a regular basis, definitely every day, which isn't what most people do. So I think that, like, in terms of, I think there's an importance with, like, seeing that you are a part of something, and being in nature can kind of emphasize that you, like, are important, kind of, like, and you have a purpose. And I think that's, like, hugely important for mental health. And I, of course, like, activity is very important for health, like, being active, walking around. I know, like, Taylor Green and I are both stoners, so inhaling smoke isn't great for your lungs, but you can help it out a little bit if you, like, walk around or go on a run here and there. So definitely that, like, that activity and everything to combat not just, like, inhaling smoke, for example, but, like, all that we consume and are exposed to on a daily basis that's carcinogenic or harmful in some way. So I think, like, being active in nature is, like, very important for the physical health aspect. And for the mental health, I think multiple things. One, we focus, one of our, like, main values as an organization is community building. So I think, like, people also, like, of course, are social creatures and need community and need people that they can check in on, that they can lean on when they need something, and who can lean on them and all of that. So, like, cultivating spaces for people to meet others who might share common interests or have completely different interests and goals, but still, like, could give them, like, resources or things that they might need and everything, or want to tap into. So that's, like, huge, the community building aspect. And, like, I mentioned earlier briefly, like, the play aspect, I think, is really important, just, like, creating spaces for people to, like, let loose and literally have fun with the sole purpose of having fun, with there not being, like, a purpose. that is like just like stressful or like feels threatening and everything, or feels risky or whatever the case may be. I think like Black existence is full of risk and like full of different struggles and obstacles and everything. So like when you're able to like engage in an activity or be in a space where it's like very low stakes and low risk, and you, again, like I was saying earlier, like you can just be, that's like hugely important for mental health, Black mental health, specifically like the mental health of oppressed bodies in this country. So like, yeah, I think all of those things, and yeah, like just breathing in fresh air, like because there are trees nearby, being able to like see the stars and like question things and think about things, being able to like learn and observe from your surroundings, I think is really important for just sort of like recentering. I would say all of those things. And yeah, like it definitely impacted the organization in terms of like how we've shaped our mission and goals and all of the initiatives. I think another thing that I really wanted to make sure was incorporated in the organization was like restorative justice philosophies and something called Ubuntu philosophy, which is a South African philosophy that often is translated to like I am because we are, but basically just speaks to the interconnectivity of like all living beings. The reality that like harm to oneself is harm to the community and vice versa. Yeah, like that value and how that interacts with like restorative justice principles around like just approaching conflict and approaching harm in a way that doesn't replicate harm and doesn't dehumanize the harmed or the person who caused the harm is like super important. And of course, the principles around just like community building, in order for that to even be a reality where we do not dehumanize those who harm us, or dehumanize those who harm our community or whatever. And yeah, like all of those things were super huge. I know I've like been able to witness firsthand like how powerful restorative approaches to conflict resolution can be. I've seen like heinous quote unquote crimes committed, and somebody who was harmed, a victim of like that situation, like has been able to forgive that person or forgive the people or whatever the case may be through conversation and through understanding and all of that. So I think like that really connects to our organization in terms of like just the importance of like seeing ourselves in one another and trying to uplift one another, because at the end of the day, that's upliftment of ourselves. So yeah, that was kind of a tangent, but I hope that answered that question.
Yeah, absolutely not a tangent at all, because everything you've both said is absolutely true. And I certainly have nothing that I could add to that. I think you're absolutely right. So I think we covered most of it, but I think one of my last questions is sort of how, since your organization is relatively new, it started only in the last year, how have you seen it grow in the last year? And what kinds of things are you looking forward to moving into the future, either like events and membership and things like that? And please feel free to plug any of your upcoming events, your Instagram, things like that.
Yeah. Also, sorry, I just wanted to add on briefly to the last question as well, with everything that Mia was saying, with firsthand experiences, and the fact that with firsthand experiences, you're having more firsts, which not only build more connections within your neural network, but also provide you more foundations for a more expansive way of thinking, in the fact that something new is presented to you, which requires you to think in a new way about it or absorb it in a certain type of way that you wouldn't have realized before, which in general can be extremely beneficial. When it comes to even just how you function on a daily basis, how you work in school, and even your own project, or just how you choose to live your own life. But I know that Mia has some upcoming events and fundraising at Things for Women that she would love to announce for us real quick.
Okay. Yes, I'm going to get into upcoming whatnot. In terms of how we've grown, our membership has just about doubled this year, from a little under 100 to about 200, which is awesome. And of course, our leadership team has grown a lot. We had a team that was much smaller. Now we have a team of 10 this year, which is just taking the load off a lot from Taylor, Corrine, and I. We were pretty much doing, just like the bulk of planning and execution and everything last year. So definitely having a team to work on different things and delegate tasks to is huge for just like increasing productivity and all of that, which is awesome. And yeah, in terms of like what we have upcoming, so yeah, we just started laying the groundwork, I should say, for a partnership with the Dream Foundation, which is an organization started by this NFL player from South LA named Kayvon Thibodeau. And he works with youth and everything around different things, a lot of things related to like sports and outdoor activities. But yeah, we're going to start developing workshops to implement in LA schools. So that's huge. And we are long-term working on putting together a summer camp for next year, for summer of 2024. So cross our fingers, we get some money from Arts in Action to put that together. But yeah, that summer camp would basically focus on outdoor rec and outdoor education, as well as arts and creativity and some liberation education sprinkled into there. So that will be really awesome. I know I'm super excited about that and getting kids outside. More short term, yeah, we have, of course, we have hikes or a camping trip, some type of outing planned almost every weekend this semester. So definitely, if you want to stay up to date on all of those, follow our Instagram, it's Woodlums with 3 S's. And yeah, we post all of our hikes and all of the info and RSVP form and everything. And same with on our website, which you can find in the link tree in our bio. And we also have a swag party, date to be announced. But yeah, this will be a party for us to fundraise and everything for all of our trips coming up this semester and just have a good time. So definitely, if you want to come out one of these weekends in October, it'll be dress up themed because obviously spooky season. Why would you go to a party where you can't dress up? So yeah, 2010s, late 2000s vibes, blog era. Yeah, so pop out.
You pretty much said it all, but as always, like she was saying, reiterate it, stay tuned. Stay updated by following the Insta, by checking the website, which will be a little bit more expansive in terms of the details and everything like that. And if you or anybody that you know is interested in Woodlums or just has any ideas about trips or just wants to get involved in any type of way, DMs are always open. Email is always open. We are literally just, what's the little Insta one? It's just like a little paper airplane in a purple circle, purple circle, whatever it's called. We just a little click away, for real, for real.
Love, love, love what, everything that you guys have said. If y'all are ever interested, currently doing an EcoBright program on campus, and very much love that that's already integrated into K-12 schools. You guys are thinking of doing enrichment programs with students as well. Especially love the part where you talk about how students be from here and some haven't even gone to the beach. Very much reminded me of an Insecure episode, you know, Issa Rae. So just very much excited for everything that you guys have in the works. So y'all heard it here straight from Woodlums. Please follow up with their Instagram, their website. They're very much outside in the best possible way. And so also thank all of you listeners. Thank you, Nia. Thank you, Taylor, Corrine, for spending your time here with us today. And please make sure to tune into the next episode of EcoAlarm, where we highlight not only student successes in environmentalism, but in the LA area. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, that'll wrap up our episode for today. For more information on EcoAlarm and resources on topics covered in this episode, follow us at Equal Alarm Podcast on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Thank you guys so much for listening. Tune in every other Friday, and we'll see you next time. Bye.